Listening Library presents A Long Way From Home by Laura Schaefer. Read for you by Caitlin Kelly. For my mother, Linda, and daughter, Eleanor. Do not look at stars as bright spots only. Try to take in the vastness of the universe. Maria Mitchell, astronomer. 1818 to 1889. 1. T-minus 62 days to launch. The summer I turned 12, Mom and Dad finally let me have a phone. Dad buys me an old model, supposedly refurbished. I have my doubts. And the thing is glitchy right from the very beginning. Once in a while, I receive weird text messages from long streams of digits, longer than any regular phone number I've ever seen. They're not even messages, really, just words. Single words that don't make any sense. But I don't delete them, and I don't say anything about them to my parents, who are worried enough about me as it is. The first word I receive is house. I stare at it for a while. Confused. I text back, "You've got the wrong number." But the reply says, "Message failed to send." This is what happens when your parents won't spring for a new phone, I think to myself. I have more important things on my mind, though. Things that aggravate the knot in my stomach, which has its own unpredictable personality. Sometimes, when Mom asks me about it, she does this thing with her eyes that makes my obsessive thinking seem like an extra member of our family. I've been to a few different doctors and psychologists, though none of them really help. They do try. It's their job to try. But no therapist in the world can actually change any of the things that are making me worry, because they're big things. Problems no one seems to know how to fix. No one can even agree on what the main problems are. Things are just not okay. I find out we, Mom, Dad, me, and my cat Jones, are moving because Mom got a new job. It isn't just any job either. Mom's a physicist, a PhD. She's always saying she wants to do something astonishing and significant with her life. And she wants the same for me. That's why she's always bugging me to finish my math homework and apply myself, because the world needs my talents. So now, she's going to work for this aerospace company that's trying to get humanity farther into space, faster and cheaper than has ever been done before, using a new kind of rocket called the Athena Heavy. The company, Space Now, has a big plan to strap 27 of these rockets together and eventually get humans to Mars in something like comfort. The Space Now engineers are exceptionally good at applying themselves, so Mom wants to help them. And since my mother is an overachieving genius, she's been invited to do just that, which means she won't be working from home anymore, like she's been doing most of my life, and will have to leave Pennsylvania for Florida, specifically Merritt Island, along the Space Coast, in the middle of my summer break. I wonder if maybe the Space Now engineers and I have something important in common. We look around at Earth right now, at the burning rainforests and rising seas, and say, "Bring me my rocket, please. I have an 8:15 flight to not here." I'm working on a theory. Mom is a scientist who is always using theories, so why shouldn't I? My theory is we are, all of us, right now, living in a dystopia. Sure, our dystopia is maybe a teeny less obvious than the ones in some stories, but think about it. Do the people in the backgrounds of the books and movies even realize they're living in a place that is off? A few of them, sure, but not most. There's a constant, low-key dread in the air. It feels like the world is holding its breath, as if the bottom could fall out at any moment, as if something important is permanently broken. My best friend, Olivia, is trying to talk her parents into letting her be homeschooled from now on. She says she feels safer when she doesn't have to leave the house too much. She says she's happiest in her room. Think about the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. It's this enormous churn of plastic and other trash floating in the ocean between California and Hawaii. The whole disaster is in international waters, so no government is doing anything much about it. The patch is twice the size of the state of Texas, and very difficult to clean up because some of its particles, the ones getting eaten by sea life, are extremely small. There are something like 1.6 trillion pieces of plastic out there, swirling, swirling, swirling around in the waves. The Great Pacific Garbage Patch isn't unique either. It's just the biggest of five. Imagine you're a fish who usually lives deep in the ocean. You swim toward the light above for a nice big meal. You power yourself through the water toward the promise of the sun, and some delicious-looking morsel catches your eyeball. You swim and swim, straining to reach the light and that yummy morsel. You gulp it right down. But it's not food. It's a broken plastic container. Or forget about the fish. It's not like humans don't have our own problems. Think about the glaciers you'll never get to see. Think about floods and power grid failures. Are you an animal lover? Sorry to hear that, since hundreds of species of animals are about to disappear forever. Dystopia. Last semester, one of my teachers, Mr. Arnold, who teaches sixth grade concert band, did kind of help me when my stomach knot was getting a lot worse after the latest mass shooting. I talked to him sometimes in my clarinet lesson during flex hour. I explained my dystopia theory, and his eyes crinkled up like he was about to laugh. Then he coughed and apologized and said he could definitely see my point. Mr. Arnold didn't talk about my obsessive worrying like it was some huge deal. He said he felt concerned a lot, too, about the state of the world, and that the only thing that ever helped his anxiety was when he did something. He encouraged me to fix one tiny problem I worried about. Mr. Arnold said this was all we could do, and that if everyone on Earth worked on one problem, we'd all be just fine. Probably. And if not, I should practice my instrument anyway because we had a concert coming up. Toward the end of the school year, I researched and wrote a feature for my school paper about plastic and why it's so bad for the ocean. We only use most plastic items once and throw them out. But a lot of things, like bags and water bottles and stuff, are never recycled. They pollute the earth for years and years. I spent a long time on that article, even though no one told me to. Everyone liked my story. Olivia said she would never touch a plastic bag or plastic water bottle again for as long as she lived. She was already using a metal water bottle, but I appreciated what she said anyway. Mom lost her mind, telling practically everyone she knew about the article. She kept saying, "See, Abby, doesn't it feel great to do something positive?" It was super annoying. I could make a whole list of Mom's "you can do it" sayings. But I'd rather not, because I hear them more or less constantly. My mother looks like a gymnast, like a small bundle of muscle and energy, with her hair kept short because it's more efficient that way. I'm completely different, long-limbed and awkward, with dark, thick, long hair that always clogs the shower drain. Anyway, after I wrote that article, every time I saw a piece of plastic trash outside, I stopped and picked it up so it wouldn't find its way to the ocean. Picking up garbage kind of became my hobby. It felt good.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?